Welcome to the AICPA Audit and Attest Standards podcast series. The Auditing Standards Board, or ASB, and the Accounting Review Services Committee, or ARSC, are the senior standard-setting bodies designated by AICPA Council to issue enforceable standards with respect to audit, review, and compilation engagements. This podcast series is intended to provide members with information as to the recent standard-setting activities of the ASB and the ARSC from members of both bodies, as well as AICPA Audit and Attest Standards staff. In this episode, Mike Glynn, CPA and AICPA staff liaison to the ARSC, is joined by Tom Radcliffe, CPA and chair of the ARSC Reliability Task Force, to discuss a trio of proposed SARs that were issued in April of 2009 and the impact they might have on our members.
Thanks, Tom, for everything you've done with respect to this project, and thanks for joining us today to give an overview to folks with respect to these proposed standards.
Thank you very much, Mike. As you know, it's always a huge privilege for me to be able to work with you on any project, and especially this podcast, where we will be discussing some proposed guidance that, as we all know, will be, when it goes final, the most significant change to the compilation and review standards since the issuance of SARS 1 in December 1978. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Today we'll provide a high-level overview of the proposed standards, and we hope that after you hear this audio that you look into the proposal in a little more detail. The proposal is available on the AICPA's website, and you can download that at any time. So without any further introduction, I'd like to jump into some basic questions for you, Tom, with respect to the issues that are covered by the proposal and, you know, some of the nitty-gritty as well. Are you ready?
Sounds wonderful to me, my friend. Let's get after it.
All right, great. Thanks, Tom. Well, let's just start with probably the real basic question that a lot of folks might have with respect to this project, and that is, why did the ARSC determine to undertake this project in the first place? What were they trying to address?
Well, Mike, I guess the simple answer to the complex question is that because we think it's the right thing to do in our efforts to help users of financial statements, small businesses, and CPAs who serve those smaller businesses, where typically financial statements are compiled or reviewed for those smaller business clients. One of the major changes that CPAs will notice when reviewing this proposed guidance is that the ARSC has repositioned the independence requirement within the guidance in certain situations. Essentially, when a CPA is working with a small business client in improving the quality or reliability of their financial reporting, it is very possible that the CPA could impair his or her independence through the performance of those services that actually serve to enhance the quality of the financial statements. So the decision was made that rather than looking at the independence impairment as a negative thing and prohibiting CPAs from performing reviews in those circumstances, ARSC, the Accounting and Review Services Committee, ARSC, is proposing guidance to allow CPAs to perform reviews as long as the review report is modified so that everyone, particularly the end users, know what the CPAs did within the context of the engagements and why we did what we did in performing and reporting on those engagements.
Oh, Tom, that's very, very interesting. As you said, that is a very real change to the current standards with respect to review engagements. And, you know, as you mentioned, the game plan there is to reposition the independence requirement. The question then comes up, does this proposed standard impact the independence standards in any way, or does it provide practitioners with any additional considerations that they should be looking to with respect to concluding as to whether or not they are, in fact, independent with respect to their client?
I'm glad you asked that question because, as you know, because you and I have been together when that type question has been asked. It is one of the more frequently asked questions that we get in discussing this proposed guidance. And the short answer to your wonderful question is absolutely not. Establishing the independence guidelines within our wonderful profession happens to be the responsibility of the AICPA Professional Ethics Executive Committee, we commonly refer to as PEEK. And this proposed guidance from ARSC related to compilation and review engagements will not be helpful to anyone in their efforts to figure out whether they are or are not independent when they are performing what we refer to as internal control services for clients, and couple those services with the performance of the attest engagements, reviews, and compilations. Rather, the guidance simply stipulates that when independence has been impaired, when we are performing internal control services in our work with our clients in helping to get the financial statements right, they being the CPAs, can perform review engagements, currently precluded, as long as the review report appropriately is modified to indicate that those services were performed in addition to the review engagement.
Tom, it's a great point. I think that a lot of the folks who are listening to us right now are probably scratching their heads saying, hey, you know, I currently do all of that stuff for my clients. I mean, you know, my role as the trusted CPA to my clients is to help them get their financial statements right. And that really is what, you know, everyone should be caring about, especially folks who are using these financial statements, those third-party users of these reviewed financial statements. That's what they've been telling us that they care about. It's not so much that the accountant has maintained perfect independence with respect to the client, but instead that the bottom line of the financial statements are right. And the ARSC, as we've gone through this process of determining where we should go with respect to these standards and how to craft them in such a way as to put the right tools in folks' hands so they can help their smaller business clients, we looked to bankers to get their input with respect to these proposals and to find out from them, what they care about and where we should go. If you wouldn't mind now, there was a funny story that came up when we reached out to one of these bankers to ask for their input. If you wouldn't mind me putting you on the spot here, would you mind telling that story to our listeners? I think that they'll find it, you know, both very interesting as well as a kind of a real life illustration of how bankers look at reviewed financial statements.
You probably can tell that I am smiling on the podcast. That really was a defining moment in this entire process, wasn't it, Mike? As you remember, we wanted to get the input of the financial institution end users, the bankers, which, as you certainly know, while there are other users, third-party users of financial statements in the real world of small herb business, private company financial reporting, financial institutions would be the major users of the financial statements, along with bonding companies and certain other end users. But we were trying to get the input from the bankers, so before we started our detailed discussions related to what we were planning to do to get that input, we were reviewing the independence standards with the users of the statements. And this particular banker, remember when we told her, it happens to be a she, that these type services that we are referring to as internal control services may impair your independence, her reaction was priceless. She asked, so, I'm paraphrasing, but this is very close. She said, so if a CPA performs certain services for the clients, because the clients don't have the internal knowledge to keep the accounting books and records correct in order to have the end result of having a reliable financial statements, and the CPAs make certain decisions about accounting issues on behalf of management or the owner manager. Then she said, so your independence is impaired even if those services help prepare better financial statements for us to use. And I thought, Mike, you might remember you gave me the opportunity to explain those services, and I thought I did a pretty good job with it. And after I explained those type services and told her that, yes, those type services in many circumstances have CPAs cross the line related to the independence requirements in our profession, her response, and this is a quote, she said, well, Tom, that's just plain silly. And I started thinking, been on ARSC, as you know, Mike, since dirt, and what she said to you and me and to our group is that essentially what we have been working on forever is just plain silly. And I said, well, I think we have our starting point for the developing the detailed guidance that we need for these standards.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Tom, I'll tell you that was a priceless response, on her behalf. And we've definitely started the ball rolling from that point forward. In addition, before the ARSC actually voted to issue these standards, we said, all right, look, we've gotten some input from third-party users, from CPAs, even from their clients, through various different outreaches we performed, whether it be from a survey we issued a few years ago with respect to independence, strictly in compilation engagements, which we received a boatload of responses and a great deal of input from folks on that one, whether it be from the various meetings we've had with these third-party users. But we still didn't think that we had really, enough support really to push forward with respect to this kind of a broad change. So the AICPA's private company practice section, or the PCPS, did some additional research, which the ARSC looked to before voting these things out as proposed standards. And the concept behind that research was to test the theory behind really these proposed SARs. Could you tell us a little bit about what that research told us?
Well, and we are very appreciative that the Private Companies Practice Section, PCPS, sponsored that research. And as you mentioned, before the decision was made by ARSC to vote for exposure of the documents that we have available now, we did want some evidence as opposed to the anecdotal evidence that we had through visiting with folks, particularly the users of financial statements, that those users would not be concerned with our alternative wording, particularly as relates to review reports. And we also obviously have the issue with compilation engagements and reports, but the largest of the issues relates to the review reporting. And we are appreciative that PCPS sponsored that academic research. And I believe, Mike, there is a link to the report that was generated through that research on the webpage where our listening audience accesses this podcast. Essentially, what the researchers found, independently of ARSC, they're two wonderful academic folks who helped us, is that users perceived the reliability of reviewed financial statements when our independence is impaired by performing internal control services as the same as when we did not perform those internal control services. So the short story related to review engagements is that they did not see, they being the users, the fact that we perform those type services as anything negative at all. And for compilation engagements, Mike, as you certainly know, they actually saw a greater value for CPAs performing these internal control services when they are coupled with the compilation engagement. And, before I throw that back to you, one of the things that we get quite a bit is we have a new term that we crafted for use in this guidance, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, and it relates to an internal control service. And so, and it, as you know, Mike, we probably spent more time than we should, that would be you and me, and our group, trying to develop some wording to convey what we were doing as CPAs in addition to the attest engagement, compilation, or review engagement. And the wording we crafted relates to we perform internal control services, which at the core of the matter are non-attest services where we are working with our clients in establishing or maintaining any aspect of a client's system of internal control. And as you well know, again, outside any authority or responsibility we have in our work with ARSC, a peak has said that establishing or maintaining internal control for a client by definition impairs our independence with respect to the client. So what this proposed guidance is doing is telling CPAs that when they cross that line in the performance of control services where their independence is impaired through the performance of those services, they can use an alternative, I guess that's a good word, an alternative reporting model where we just clearly stipulate in the report that we performed those services in our work with clients in our efforts to team to get more reliable financial reporting. And you heard me mention several times, Mike, some disagree with me on this. I don't know why. But I've always thought that it really does not matter who does work first as long as the CPA and the client are working together to get the financial statements right. So whether the client does the work first and we review the work, or whether we do the work first and the client reviews the work, ultimately the goal is for the CPA to be able to provide some assurance and reach a conclusion based on the assurance we obtain in the engagements that the financial statements are right, that there are no material modifications that need to be made to the statements for them to be in conformity with the applicable financial reporting framework, whether that framework is U.S. GAAP or IFRS as adopted by the International Accounting Standards Board, or now even the IFRS for SMEs, small and medium-sized entities, or even an OCBOA and other comprehensive basis of accounting, tax-based and cash-based, modified cash-based statements. The entire goal is to enhance the reliability of the financial reporting process so that the end user of the financial statements will be making to have a greater likelihood of making decisions on statements that are right.
Well, thanks, Tom. I mean, absolutely. I think, I just take a step back for a second. I know you thanked our great friends over at the PCPS. I just wanted to also echo, your thanks to them because they really did a great job for us in getting us this additional information as well. And whether it be David Morgan, who's our good friend and the chair of the PCPS Executive Committee, or a couple of my fellow AICPA folks, Jim Messler and Mark Hoziel, who they really went above and beyond trying to help these small firm practitioners that they represent by doing this research for us and getting us this additional information so that we could move forward with respect to these proposed SARs. That was just really invaluable to us. And thank you very much for that helping folks understand this concept of internal control services.
This concludes part one of the conversation between Mike and Tom. Be sure to join us next time for part two. Thank you for listening to this episode of the AICPA Audit and Attest Standards podcast series. For additional information on the material covered in this episode, as well as on the activities of the Audit and Attest Standards team, please visit the Audit and Attest Standards page on www.aicpa.org. and be sure to look out for new episodes coming soon.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.